From the Center for Parent Youth Understanding and the CPYU Podcast Network, you're listening to The Word in Youth Ministry, a podcast by youth workers for youth workers, where we give insights, strategies, and helps for effectively teaching God's Word to our students.
Here we are in another episode of The Word in Youth Ministry. My name is Kyle. I'm the pastor of family ministry at Old North Church in Canfield, Ohio, and I'm thankful that you joined us for this important conversation today as we talk about the topic reframing dating. Thinking about dating, thinking about marriage, what does the Bible say about marriage, and how does what the Bible says about marriage reframe what we think about dating? I do want to remind you before I introduce today's guest that you can take the conversation beyond the podcast to the Word in Youth Ministry Facebook forum, a place to ask questions, read other people's comments, think about the important topic of the Word being in youth ministry. I do want to remind you that the Center for Parent Youth Understanding hosts this podcast episode and every podcast episode. The Word in Youth Ministry is one of three podcasts that CPYU has. We have a ton of resources. Many or almost all of them are free. You can find those at www.cpyu.org. Well, today we have a youth pastor from the great state of Indiana, a returning guest to the Word in Youth Ministry, Foster Toft. Foster is the pastor of student ministry at Bethel Church. And Foster, I just want to say thank you for coming back on a second time.
Yeah, absolutely. Appreciate it. It's always great. Really looking forward to it.
Now, Foster, part of why I wanted to have you on this episode is we have a wide range of guests. We have authors, professors, people, but I love that we can have conversations with real life youth pastors who are thinking through important topics, and that then we can talk about this and hopefully those who are listening can grow. And that's where we get to today's topic of reframing dating. Now, this conversation for our listeners, I want you to know that this conversation is based off of an article that Foster wrote for Youth Pastor Theologian. I want to remind you that we're obviously good friends with Mike McGarry, who's the founder and I think director of Youth Pastor Theologian. Foster wrote an article that came out a while ago called Three Biblical Truths About Marriage That Reframe Teen Dating. And I saw this article and said, Foster, let's have a conversation about this, because I think every youth pastor and every parent can use help in thinking about how to talk about dating. Now, Foster, just the first thing I want to say, you talk about this in the beginning of your article, and then I'm just going to make a statement, and I want you to just respond to it. And I would say, for me as a youth pastor, I tell parents that for their kids dating, that is a decision that the parents need to make. That is something that we put in the hands of the parents, where as a youth, we don't make a rule, because like that is something the parents decide. How would you respond?
I mean, almost verbatim. I think the little first sentence of my article I wrote is just like, everyone has their own philosophies. Every parent needs to go off of their convictions. And me being a student pastor, I'm not God or their parent. And so there's something levels of authority that I have, and that I'm like, I don't get to tell your kid how they ought to date and not date. And I don't get to tell them. So at the end of the day, I am all for parents living out their convictions. And that said, what I hopefully do in this article is to hopefully bring some light on things that should spur on our convictions and how we do things. And so wherever on the continuum of dating that so many different families land on, that they at least have a source material to go through of like, all right, wherever we land on the subject, this is how things we ought to think about them. So that's kind of like the heart of the article.
And this article and this topic is so crucial, because I'm convinced, and I've said this in a previous recording that we've had for the Word in Youth Ministry, that part of the reason so many students fall away from the church, people who grow up in the church but then end up not staying in churches, a lot of it, not all, but a lot of times you could be traced back to sexual sin. And another reason this topic is just particularly in my head right now is from the time of this recording, I recently officiated back-to-back weddings, so two different Saturdays, both here in our church of former students, and both of them, it was so special to see, in this case, there are two girls who were in the youth ministry, and to officiate both of their weddings, one with the husband, who the husband kind of came to the youth ministry the first, and then the second one, she met her husband at college. And to officiate those weddings and to see them, obviously they're not perfect young ladies, but to see them follow out God's design for marriage and to stand in front of them and their new husbands and the people at their wedding and to see them do it the right way. I mean, it just brings like goosebumps on my arms just talking about it. And yeah. Just as I was officiating that second wedding, back-to-back weekends, I was standing up there on the stage officiating thinking, I need to tell the students in Sunday school, it's possible, you can do it. And a lot of the way that we get to this possibility is by framing it well, or as I like to say, as we're calling this episode, reframing. So you give us a couple biblical terms or biblical ideas. So I just want to walk down through them. There's three of them. The first one that you talk about is as students are thinking about dating, first they need to realize that dating is different than marriage, but yep. that marriage is a covenant. So can yep. you just explain a little bit about marriage being a covenant and what a covenant is?
Sure. And so kind of simplest terms, a covenant is two parties coming together over a set of agreements. And so that matters a lot. And you see, if marriage is equated with a covenant and God gets to define a covenant, then we want to ensure that we are holding it to what he says it is. And we'll get there later in scripture where we see how the marriage is Christ's relation to the church is related to a covenant. But one thing is particularly when we make a covenant with one another, two people go into that relationship, like the Bible has a lot of crucial things to say about that. And it's not something that's thrown around too willy-nilly. It's something that just matters. And I mean, I think of Genesis 15, for example, with the torch and the boiling pot and like when Abraham falls asleep. And the covenant is God himself walks between the animals that are carved. And Jeremiah later on, I think 29, gives us kind of the reality of what that means is essentially saying, like, if I go against this covenant, like whatever happened to those animals, let it happen to me. And God himself is saying, like I'm going to keep my end of the bargain here. And so I think having a robust, deep understanding of covenants help us be able to even approach the idea of marriage, because it's like, all right, so what's at stake here? Like, what are we communicating here? And I even like, I think playfully say this, I'm like, I think I said it's in the article of like, okay, Foster, it seems like you're really taking this too seriously. Well, I would kind of like, as the kids say, like clap back a little bit. I'm like, I think you might be thinking of it too shallowly here. Like it's really shallow of like, because I like how you started it off saying like how you had the privilege of doing two weddings back to back. And so many times, more times than not, people look at the world and say, it's like, well, the world gets to have fun. At least I'm holy over here. They're out there having fun. At least I'm holy. And I like how John Piper in Desiring God, really one of the most influential books on me, it's like holiness and happiness are never at odds together.
Amen.
And the way that God has created things is ultimately for your good and you'll have deeper enjoyment. And so much of the heart of this article and just my convictions on scripture is if God created something for your good, for you to enjoy it to its fullest, that when people are abusing it and not doing it right, it's that they think they're having fun, but they're really not. And it's like those people who say like, oh, I'm dating, you know, you're practicing for marriage. But then the real reality is like, oh, it sounds like you're practicing for divorce more. And just like, it seems like that's kind of your heart here. And I just going off this first point, a deep understanding of covenants, of how two people come together, a set of agreements, reframes the way we think about how two high schoolers, people in general, should consider what are we doing here? Like, yep. Is this what we're doing? Is this actually a covenant? Does this actually give us a shallow view of how God has instituted people coming together? And that actually, if you understand it appropriately, it gives a lot of depth and beauty to things. And I think that just helps us reframe how high school, college, whoever age you are, like helps you. And I don't want to jump too far ahead, but also protects you. I think I mentioned this later, but understanding a covenant appropriately helps people understand who they submit to and who they don't submit to, especially for ladies, and what a guy's obligations are to a girl. And that right there, I'll talk about that later, but so many times than not, it's you see gals submit to either high school boyfriends in a way, they're like, they don't have that seat in your life.
Yeah.
And why are you doing that? and without these actual covenant obligations. And so it also just protects people. And that's where having a deep understanding of that has been helpful for me as I try to reframe it for families and stuff.
Well, I think what you're actually doing here is helping youth leaders and helping me think about when I teach on dating, we need to make sure that the target is correct that students are aiming for. And what you're not saying is that as they date, they're in a covenant. What you are saying is that if they were to get married, they'd be in a covenant. So be careful with the language you use when you're talking about dating, because dating is not marriage. And I just think this goes into so much. This summer I was actually at camp, and I was talking about sexual sin with our students. And as I was talking about it, the question always comes up, how far is too far before you get married, and physically, and what that looks like. And we had this long discussion. Then I had a follow-up discussion. One of the students asked me a question about it. And I said, hey, if we just throw out everything right now, like even forget about the Bible right now, maybe a baseline for how far is too far is realizing, like you were saying, you're not in a covenant. So let's say I said to this student who's going to be a junior, I said, if you're dating someone right now, another girl, and there's another dude who's dating another girl, but like that other guy is actually dating your future wife and you're dating his future wife. I said, how far would you want? I said, don't even think about the Bible right now. I said, how far would you want to go with this girl who's someone else's future wife? And how far would you want him to go with this? And he goes, I don't like that, Pastor Kyle. Like, I said, what do you mean? And I thought he was going to say, because he wanted to keep going further right now. He said, I don't even want him to look at my future wife. And in that, I thought it was helpful, and I think it's helpful thinking about right here as marriage is covenant, because sometimes I'm probably guilty of this too, that we want to talk about how dating is leading to marriage and dating is practice and all this. And but I just think that sometimes I think my caution for those listening and for myself is that pendulum can swing so far one way or another. And I think that maybe the better thing, which I think you do in this article, is actually teach the target, which is a godly marriage. And so they know what, and so for you in this article, you're saying, well, number one is knowing that a godly marriage is covenant. The second word that you use here is that marriage is a union. Can you just, as the kids say, can you riff on that a little
Can you
bit?
riff off that? Like, I want to say, I was like, okay, chat, this is what I mean. So, again, it's really just building off of covenant. It is when two people literally come together and enjoy each other in every single way. And so, physically, emotionally, spiritually. And so, there's that question that I've asked, so many people have asked of just like, well, how far is too far? I think one thing we have to ask our students, like, well, is that the right question to ask here? It's like, are we asking the right questions? Because the questions lead us to expectations. And at the end of the day, I think having a robust theology on marriage helps us have proper expectations on people. And so I think right there, once we have bad expectations, we can go into that's where it leads to disappointments. Because expectations, and like if you were to go to like all throughout Proverbs, I think expectations is the same word as hope. And so the other thing is like, what are you hoping for here? And it's like, well, I'm hoping that my girlfriend affirms me, talks to me, does this for me, all this. It's like, that's not. It's in make-believe land. She's not called to do those things. So if we have wrong like thoughts lead to bad expectations, but if we have good thoughts and right theology, it can give us to proper expectations. It allows us to deal with reality. That's what we want kids to do. And so at the end of the day, I think in this article, I even say just like two students who are dating as if they're married. Again, that's where I'm really, we can go to the pendulum swings of people who are hardcore of like, how dare you even talk about dating? You're just too immature. It doesn't matter. Get out of here. Because at the end of the day, like I was talking to a parent semi recently, and they were saying like, "Oh, my kid just has a little boyfriend. It's just silly and all that." But for me, I'm like, in my mind, I was like, "It's not silly to them." Of like, things that it's like you're saying it's silly because they're like freshmen. They can't go. They can't drive. They're all this. And you say it's silly, but I'm like, to them, it's not silly. To them, it matters because this person's special to them and they really like them. But then, are we framing how we ought them to behave with one another? Of like, what does, like, I think a good question to say is just like, what is marriage? And then, if we were, I taught a class on we talk about a different subjects with we do on the side, and one of those things we talked was like immorality. We talked about sexual sins, and the entire lesson I just did a theology in marriage, and like I didn't do the negative, like this is what porn is, this is what this is, and I walked through it, but rather I spent an hour just doing a class on what marriage is. And at the end of the day, when you teach that, they say like, wow, I know what it is, and then I know what it's not.
Right.
And so it's just like, well, that's where you can just like, I mean, I don't want to make this a PG-13 conversation. When it comes down to like masturbation, anything like that, and those things, we're just like, you know, then where that doesn't fit in the scope of how God has, because you're literally, if it's a selfish impulse, you're not going to serve someone. You're literally serving yourself here. And so once you start showing us how we should ought to think about things as union, we see framing it correctly has right expectations, because I think I talk about students who have a poor understanding of what covenant is, they'll have rightful tension in their relationship because they'll expect their boyfriend or girlfriend to act in a certain way. Of like, they'll have these rightful tensions. Like, I truly believe if a senior boy and senior girl are like absolutely just dating as if they're marriage, they're gonna have that sexual tension between them because they don't have expectation of how they ought to behave with one another and how they like where this like you can say, oh, they're all brothers and sisters in Christ. Yes, I'm also for like knowing of like, hey, I'm interested in you. Like, what does this look like? And actually having legs to things with this goes towards. So I would ask people to be able to say, just what is marriage? If you were to say, describe to me what marriage is, what would you say? I say, well, it's two people who love each other, who commit each other for life. I was like, all right, so you talk about being in love. So can you help me understand, like, what does that look like to be in love? Like, how do you know someone loves you? And then they'll say, well, they do this, they do that, they do this. And it's like, okay, do you think that is limited to this, or can you experience it as someone else? And they can, it's again, questions prick the conscience, accusations harden the heart. And so at the end of the day, you're like, hey, you're like, okay, this is what I think about this. So it's like, okay, so do you think that you, like mom and dad are talking to teenager? It's like, do you think you and your girlfriend, you and your boyfriend are the same as me and mommy and daddy? And just like, they're saying, oh yeah, everything's the same except we don't sleep with each other. That right there, be like, is that true? And that's where I go to Satan's like our God's rather, God's first question after the end of when they fell. It's like, who told you were naked? It's that, who told you this? Who told you that it's only, and that's where we get then, and then he bridges it even more. That's where the how far is too far conversation comes. Because all they're doing is they literally are only putting sex as the one standpoint of what makes marriage different from dating. And then sex has an asterisk because, well, is all these different things different? That right there, I think, needs to just put that aside and rather say, what does it actually look like to be in a covenant relationship with someone, with your affections, with your time, with your commitment towards each other's? And going through that vantage point leads us to not just say, oh, well, obviously just sleeping with one another is what makes someone married and not married. God, it's okay with you doing everything until you can go to bed with each other, then it's marriage. Like, that's not how the New Testament or the scriptures talk. It's deeper than that. It goes into this actual limited, exclusive relationship where you enjoy each other in every single way. And so that's where I think understanding as marriage, as union is significant, because at the end of the day, what student or person doesn't want a person who has been being able to look at them and they can enjoy each other with every single way without regret, and that they are absolutely committed there? Everyone wants that. And so you're saying, well, this is where I think this understanding of a union comes into play, and it's helpful. And it just gives you good protections and expectations. And so hopefully that's nails it and helps and
Oh, I mean, it helps and encourages me even as I think about teaching the students that God has put under my care. We need to take a break, but I have one more quick question for you. When we think about union, I agree that we always it seems like we always go to physical. And I think that your caution to teenagers is right, that it's like, oh, so really you're exactly like a married couple, except for you're not sleeping together. Well, there's all other types of union. I just want, do you have a call, what caution would you give to youth workers that they should caution their students when we think about the spiritual union that two students might have when dating? When two students are like, you know what, we're practicing, we're not having sex, but we are spiritually, we're praying together, we're reading together, we're like obviously we wouldn't say that would be like prohibitive, but what would you say on how to guide students who are dating to live their spiritual lives?
Yeah. The first thing that comes to my mind is obviously one could say it's like, well, we're praying together, we're reading scripture together. And yes, they meant to doing those things. But I guess I would still just, I think an appropriate question to say is like appropriateness
Yeah.
of like, I think of like Titus 2 when it comes to older women investing in younger women. I think of actually the categories of like older men investing in younger guys. I'm like, those who are now outside of these marriage covenant unions, it's like, why, like, for what reason can you not have an older gal dive into
Yep.
the scriptures with you and do those things? It's like, well, because I like him. It's like, okay, I'm not denying that. But again, I'm saying like appropriateness here that is what you're doing, like as what the scriptures say, arousing or awakening love and so desires, even of like through doing something so innocent. Again, Satan to disguise himself as an angel of light. And so at the end of the day, I'm like, is what's appropriate here and what's actually maybe appropriate is like more like extreme, but like what's beneficial here, what's uplifting. And I am more biased towards when it comes down to integrational like discipleship of the local church, where you have older women investing in younger girls, older men investing in younger guys, and they will say just like, hey, this is what it means to understand the scriptures. And in those meetings you have like a guy saying like, man, I'm really interested in this girl, like I want to go talk to her. He'd be like, go do it. Or have you considered these things? And they'll go talk and all that. And again, I'm not pitting like
Course.
Bible study and prayer apart from each other. But again, appropriateness of like, do you need to have that person be your consistent right now? Because is that helpful? Does that
Absolutely.
actually allow things to be in its categories that, again, I can't be dogmatic here, but I'm also thinking of like what's in my experience in student ministry of like, is this actually accomplishing the actual ends that you say you desire? And that's how I would first go about that.
Yeah, I think that's a helpful caution and even prescription to consider, because the last thing we want is two people who we know how much our bodies change when we're in high school and middle school, and we know how much our emotions are changing and spiritually we're growing. And if two people are dating throughout middle school and or high school, and then they break up, and at the end of that they're like, you know what, my whole relationship with God is even though it's probably not their whole relationship with God is intertwined, but probably a lot of it. And
Yeah.
just trying to figure out how to untangle that. And I think that's helpful to consider. Well, we're going to take a quick break here. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the third and final point of this article that I think is helpful as we think about reframing dating, and is helpful to think about, again, the target that we're teaching our students to aim for in a healthy marriage. And we're here talking with Foster Toft, youth pastor in the great state of Indiana, returning guest on the Word and Youth Ministry. So stick with us. We'll be right back after this ad.
Hey, youth workers, it's happening again. The 4th Annual Northeast Youth Ministry Summit will be held from March 16 to 19 in the beautiful Laurel Highlands of Pennsylvania at the Ligonier Camp and Conference Center. We invite you to join us for 4 days of deep and practical youth ministry training, shared meals, worship, and community building all around this year's theme of Every Square Inch. We've assembled an experienced group of youth ministry trainers and practitioners who will lead you into a deeper understanding of how to raise up a generation of students who live out their faith in every square inch and moment of their lives. We'll gather for 6 large group sessions, and you can choose from 20 breakouts, and there's a whole lot more. Visit nymsummit.org for more information and to register. That's nymsummit.org. No matter where you live and are doing youth ministry, I hope you'll join us at the 2026 Northeast Youth Ministry Summit.
And we're back here on the Word and Youth Ministry with Foster Toft, thinking about reframing teen dating and thinking about how we can best teach our students in our student ministry. I even think, Foster, about this article that you wrote for Youth Pastor Theologian that we're talking about. I just know that after I saw the article recently, I texted it out to some parents in my youth group, and I said, hey, you have 4 teenagers. I sent it to a dad and a mom over text message, and I said, you have 4 teenagers, and I sent it to them. So this is just important, not only to think about teaching students, But in youth ministry, I think it's thankful to think about how we can encourage, it's important to think about how we can encourage parents to have these conversations with their kids. So first, Foster, we talked about marriage as covenant. Then we talked about marriage as union. The third point you have here is that Christ in the church is obviously the perfect marriage. We know that scripture, yeah. Ephesians 5, here we are in the word in youth ministry. So we go to the Bible, Ephesians 5. We see Christ in the church and the bride and bridegroom and all that. Can you just explain why it's important to teach about Christ in the church being the perfect marriage?
Sure. I mean, I guess simply stated, if Christ, scriptures use marriage to foundationally show God's relationship to us, I feel like practically understood it should be applied to our lives. And so that's why I'm like, when I doubled down, and this is kind of like probably my favorite part of what I wrote about. It's this whole idea. I'm like, if this foundational relationship that God uses marriage to depict his relationship with his bride of the church, then I feel like, and then that has had solid theology built throughout the scriptures, that people have this understanding of covenant relationship, then we ought to then have that relationship like prioritized, celebrated, and guarded, that we understand we're doing it right. And so a big theme of this article I talk about is dating as marriage. And again, it's just having people consider what makes marriage marriage, and why is it beautiful? What things then, like, what makes that exclusive relationship, and how marriage doesn't live up to that? I mean, I think of later in the article, I call it like a carnival mirror of like, you can't, like, if it shows it like disproportionate, because at the end of the day, I say a dating relationship cannot mirror Ephesians 5. It's not supposed to. And at the end of the day, I think I talked about this earlier. It's like a girlfriend isn't called to submit to her boyfriend as a wife is called to submit to her husband. And that's where I think more than just, oh, marriage, you have sex, girlfriend, boyfriend, you're not supposed to. But this is where I'm getting at when it comes down to your posture you take in the relationship and the expectations, especially on young ladies, you're going to place on yourself. It is, you want to go after a guy that has the characteristics and obviously being godly that we want to see in a man that we see throughout scriptures. Yes and amen, go after him. But again, your posture towards him is not the same as your mom towards your husband. And understanding why marriage matters, this mystery of Christ in the church, we ought to look at ourselves and be like, all right, if dating cannot and should not look the same as this, what governing ideas and discipleship can I give the students and parents to their kids? Of like, when, again, at the end of the day, you know, in ministry, we can't give like yes and no's. Like, yes, dating is wrong. Yes, dating is bad. It's like, we can't say that. You and I have opinions throughout longer than time on things, but they don't matter. They're not authoritative. But at the same time, I'm like, all right, what is authoritative? This. Amen. This is what it says. God's word says marriage is this. And it's so beautiful. It literally represents his love for the church. And that means it's committed. He doesn't have buyer's remorse. He's not gonna find like this is like a complete sidebar conversation. I don't want to get in trouble with this. Like, I'm a covenant kind of theologian. I'm not dispensational, and I pick on my dispensational friends because I'm like, Jesus doesn't have a girlfriend. Jesus doesn't have Israel is not Jesus's girlfriend. Stop. And I'm like, Jesus married the church, and that's a separate. You can maybe I won't be invited to come back. All that to say is, I look at this, I'm like, girlfriends and boyfriends isn't this. It's Ephesians 5. And so all I'm encouraging parents especially to do, and youth leaders, is for them for students to consider, how then do I celebrate what marriage is, and how am I operating today that puts whatever relationship I am into appropriate categories. And that goes into expectations. So that's what I would say, especially as the perfect marriage and how that influences us practically.
Foster, our listeners can't see my face because this is audio only, not video, but man, this is exactly why I wanted to have you on, because I get to see your content that you put on social media, and I get to see your different stuff that you, events that you have, and like, like I feel like a youth pastor's heart bleeds through.
Sure.
And that's why I recently I was like, man, I want to have another like a youth pastor on to talk about this, and I love it. So I want to land this plane by giving each of us, I'll go first and then you'll go second, to give one just nugget of advice to our listeners around this topic of reframing dating. So the nugget that I would give is, again, this summer I was standing in front of students and we were talking about how usually, I was gonna say clickbait, which I think is right. The clickbait term that we like to talk about is how homosexuality is a sin. But one thing that I would just recommend to our listeners is to continue to teach a biblical view of homosexuality, that marriage is actually a marriage between a man and a woman, committed for life. But I would add to that that God also hates heterosexual sin. And so sometimes I think in youth ministry, if we do a tough question night or if we do things, we might get a question submitted. What does the Bible say about homosexuality? And we might spend a half an hour talking about that. And maybe we should spend 3 hours talking about that. I would say yes. But then we're talking to a group of students where maybe there's students sitting there and probably students sitting there who are living in heterosexual sin. And I think that sometimes in youth group, and maybe by accident, we almost have pet sins that we like to talk about. And just when it comes to dating, I would just suggest to those who are listening to this episode to make sure that we talk about heterosexual sin and homosexual sin, and that we point them to Christ. What would be one last nugget that you would like to know for that you would like to share with our listeners on this topic?
I think one thing, especially if there's parents or if you're a youth leader, work with parents, I think in the better way, all of us are consuming media all the time, like when it comes down to reels, movies, TV shows. And one thing that I really admire my father-in-law, what he did with my wife when they were growing up throughout all high school. They're watching a movie, especially with relationships, or someone says someone does something. My father-in-law, he would pause the movie and he would ask, it's like, what do you guys think about this? Like, is this like, we'll laugh at all these relationships, like Jim and Pam in The Office, like Andy Dwyer and April, all these hilarious things. And oftentimes I love the phrase, I forgot who said it, so I can't take credit for it. But when it comes down to kids, like, so man, often it's hard for the brain to see the difference between what is normal and what is true. And at the end of the day, our students are often seeing show what's normalized is honestly wives demeaning their husbands, or guys just being stupid, guys only being like these guys who are sex driven and not thoughtful, and this normal picture of men and women in the world. And the students have a hard time showing the difference between what is normal and what is true. And so I would, one, say that to kids, and then two, have them just pause, literally wherever you're at, pause and ask them the question is, what do we think about this? How ought we see this? And parents watching a movie, it's low-hanging fruit. You're watching literally from VeggieTales to Marvel of like, what do we think about this? And is this, how does this compare to what God says? And like, oh, like that guy should have put his life down for this girl. Because that's what guys do. Like, I have four boys right now, and I tell them, what does a guy do? And my 5-year will say, a boy loves God and defends and protects girls. That's what he'll say. I'm going to build that out, but that's what my little boy will say. And so that's my nugget of like, look at this. Is that true? And then apply it. That's what I would say.
Oh, that's a good nugget for youth workers. It's a good nugget for any dad listening who has sons at home to do. I just think about my own son at home it's one more year before he goes to school and how helpful that would be. So, Foster, thank you for joining us today. Foster, now one last question that has nothing to do with dating, that has nothing to do with that, but just because you're a real life youth pastor and all I want is a number, I'm not even giving you
Sure.
an opportunity to explain your number. That if you're thinking of a youth ministry gathering, high schoolers and middle schoolers there, that's not a Sunday morning. So like youth group, like whatever. So a lot of people have midweek youth group or maybe Sunday night, and you're gonna have the opportunity to teach the Bible to these middle schoolers and high schoolers together. What amount of time are you hoping to be allotted for you to, I just want a number. What amount of time are you hoping to be allotted for the message that you are gonna give?
25 minutes.
25 minutes. You heard it. Foster Toft, pastor of student ministry at Bethel Church in the great state of Indiana. I would recommend our listeners go to our show notes. Anything that was mentioned, books, links will be there, including a link to our friends at Youth Pastor Theologian to this article that Foster wrote at Youth Pastor Theologian. I want to thank the Center for Parent Youth Understanding for hosting this podcast and every podcast that we have. As I reminded you at the beginning of this episode, this is one of three podcasts that we have, and you can find that information at www.cpyu.org. Thanks for listening, and we'll be with you next time.
Thanks for listening to The Word in Youth Ministry. To learn more about CPYU and the resources mentioned on today's podcast, visit us online at cpyu.org.